Today at the Supreme Court, justices heard a case that could have implications for the future of the drought-stricken Colorado River.
The river runs along the border of the Navajo Nation in northern Arizona. Thing is, the tribe has never had a right to use that water. Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd reports that they have been trying for decades to get courts to change that.
The Navajo Nation has the largest tribal reservation in the country. It spans a vast swath of high desert plateau in northeastern Arizona, along with parts of New Mexico and Utah. In this arid part of the country, home to about 165,000 people, fresh water is hard to come by.
We still don't have rights to any of the Colorado River.
Andrew Curley is a University of Arizona professor whose research includes tribal water issues. He's also a member of the Navajo Nation.
In mainstream discourse, we've been talking about, you know, depletion of the Colorado River, the reservoirs, the water, and how much everybody has to cut back. Well, we've been cutting back more than 100 years because we have no access or rights to the Colorado River, even though we've been living here before the United States was an idea.
Curley says it shouldn't be this way. In 1908, the Supreme Court decided a case that became known as the Winters Doctrine. It made clear that when the government creates an Indian reservation, it also reserves the water necessary to live there. The tribe's lawyers wouldn't speak on the record, but they say the government has failed to meet that responsibility. Heather Whiteman Runs Him is an attorney who filed a brief on behalf of 37 tribes in support of the Navajo Nation.
What the Navajo Nation is asserting is that the United States has a responsibility to do something to move the ball forward in enabling Navajo people to have access to safe and secure sources of water. That's part of the trust responsibility of the federal government.
After 20 years of litigation, the case is now at the Supreme Court after the Ninth Circuit allowed the breach of trust claim to move forward. So, how does the Navajo Nation get its water?
This is a purifier.
Well, in 2017, I met a man named Percy Deal.
See, I take the water, the rain or snow water from there, I put it in here, then it filters.
His front porch overlooks an expanse of high desert that, aside from the wind, is earthly silent. Deal showed me the barrels he uses to catch water off the roof. Like a third of the people on the reservation, he doesn't have indoor plumbing. And the rain isn't enough. He needs more water for washing, cooking, and feeding livestock. He drives for miles to get it.
During the summertime, it's every day, sometimes twice a day. And then I have these 55-gallon drum over here. I take two of them, put them in the back of the truck. That's for domestic use.
This is why the Navajo Nation is in court. Tribal lawyers are asking for the government to officially assess the tribe's need for water and to consider that need as it manages the Colorado River. But three of the states that already have established rights to the water are putting up a fight. Rita McGuire represents Arizona, Colorado, and Nevada at today's hearing. She says the tribe's case is a red herring.
The approach that they have taken, which is following this what we call a breach of trust claim against the government for breaching fiduciary duties to the tribe, is not really what they're seeking. What they're seeking is a right to the Lower Colorado River.
McGuire doesn't dispute the Navajo Nation's right to water, but she says a Supreme Court case from the 1960s affirmed its right to claim water from the tributaries of the river, not the main stem of the Colorado itself. It's an important distinction, especially now. In a time of unprecedented drought, Western states are fighting over their share of the river, and the Secretary of the Interior has warned that the entire system is in danger of collapsing. Again, Rita McGuire.
Papers are thick with articles about the fact that both Lake Powell and Lake Mead are at record lows. If you throw in a consideration to the secretary saying, now you have to consider whether or not you need to manage the river differently because of undetermined rights, that limits the secretary's option to protect the water supply. And in that sense, that's just too much uncertainty in the system.
In other words, Arizona and other states like California could lose water that they're entitled to.
Yes, indirectly. The secretary is going to have to, frankly, take into consideration the Navajo's interests before parties that actually have had vested rights in the river for decades.
McGuire says that if the tribe wants to relitigate the decision from the 1960s, it needs to take that up with the Supreme Court in a separate case. For its part, the federal government claims there is no specific law or treaty that requires them to do what the tribe is asking for.
any tribal case that goes up in front of the Supreme Court, everyone's just on pins and needles.
Daniel Cordalis is a water rights attorney and a member of the Navajo Nation. He says if the justices rule broadly against the tribe, it could undermine the 1908 precedent that reserves water for reservations, the Winters Doctrine.
The fear of getting things in front of the court is you don't know where they're gonna, where any court's going to stop. And so we kind of just take everything as a threat. It's kind of like what we have left of our rights is so important that having them potentially be subject to scrutiny and is scary.
But a narrower ruling could have implications too. Cordalis says this case could redefine or weaken the obligations the federal government has with tribes across the country, including how it protects tribal rights to health care, education, or fisheries. Meaning this case, centered on the uncertain future of the Colorado River, goes far beyond water. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd in Phoenix.